All right, so I'm going to talk to you today about the atmospheres of faith. Many times, the Lord just brought this to my attention because I feel like there are things that contribute to an atmosphere of faith, and there are things that will not contribute to the atmosphere of faith. And you could see in the scripture, the Lord was just kind of pointing this out to me. They're like, why is it that when you go to on certain mission trips, you pray for people and more people get healed? Why is that? Is that just because somehow that country's different? Or, you know, so as I began to look at that, and as you travel, obviously there's something about that too. But I want you to see that Jesus himself had to deal with atmospheres of faith and unbelief in his ministry, and you could see how it was different at times. So we're going to begin, we're going to see how Jesus dealt with the atmospheres of faith so that things would happen, be more powerful. So the first place we're going to look in Mark chapter 6, and I don't know how much I'm going to get through this. This may be a three-parter, just simply because there's so much here. And I just don't want to, you know, I may just take my time and do this over some different Sundays. But right here in Mark chapter 6, verse 1, is the story of Jesus going to a certain town. And so we're going to talk about the first example of his hometown. So the first place I'm going to call it, we're going to call it small town faith. Small town faith. Now, I've been to big towns, I've been to little towns, and small town. It was interesting, the town I was in Costa Rica was about the same size as Martinsville, about 11,000, except it was about 3,000 feet above sea level. So it was a lot higher, but still about the same size. They had their areas, the commercial areas. And then they had all the houses out there in various parts of the countryside. So Jesus went away from there and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. So you could almost say this is also a hometown faith, but I'm going to call it a small town faith because you'll see what happens. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished, saying, "Where did this man get these things, and what is the wisdom given to him, and how are such mighty works done by his hands?" So that first thing, they were astonished, or they were shocked. They were shocked at what they heard come out of his mouth. They were astonished. they were amazed. But in this case, you'll find out it's not really a good kind of amazement. Not a good kind of amazement. It was an amazement that shook them up from what they were familiar and used to. And as you can reflect on living in a small town, one thing that you know, come on, it's the truth. Everybody knows each other. Everybody knows each other. And some towns you go to, and there's so many people there's no way anybody could. But there's something about a small town. And Nazareth was a small town. It was not a big town. Maybe in the hundreds Nazareth was, okay? And so everybody knew each other. And so they were hit with something that didn't fit. Let me say it again. They were hit with something that didn't fit. Because everything fit together in a small town. And so they said, Where did he get this wisdom? How such mighty works are being done? And then verse 3, is this not the carpenter? They already knew who he was. It didn't fit the narrative. The son of Mary, they knew his mom. They knew his mama. Son of Mary, brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon. He had four brothers. They knew it. They knew the fam. They knew where he lived. I always remember when I first moved down here, my name isn't very common around here, and so they were trying to fit my name into a name of the neighborhood. And there's not even a Hess, I don't think, hardly a Hess around here. You go to Pennsylvania, there's a lot of Hesses there, okay? Eastern PA. But you go to, down here, you don't really hear that name much. But people were trying to figure out. I loved it. I loved it about the small town because the first question is kind of like, who's your daddy? You know, because usually you grew up with him at school or something like that. So you start questioning and talking about stuff. Now, isn't this not the carpenter and his sisters? And they took offense at him. So something about what Jesus did didn't fit. Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and among his relatives and in his own household. And here we go. He could not do much. No mighty work. I'm trying to quiet my computer and it's not doing it. There we go. Let's try that again. He could not do mighty works there, except he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. In other words, we know that Jesus did some mighty things. Healings were not one of them. You know, healings were kind of the average thing, or maybe we're talking about like big miracles. He couldn't do any big miracles, and he just laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. Now, let me say that having a small town faith, I'd say it like that, I'm not trying to insult anything or any situation. I'm just trying to say that they knew everybody. They thought they knew what was going on. And one hindrance to a small town faith. Now, what would change that faith in that area is people seeing some miracles and seeing some things that would change their perception of that person. Like I said, somebody that you grew up with, someone that you knew, you kind of have an attitude or a thing because you've known them for so long. And that's the way it was for Jesus. And they had trouble thinking that he was going to be, that he was the Son of God. Because there was a big difference between the Jesus that grew up and the Jesus there was after his baptism. And have you know that when you were born again, you're not the same person that I used to be. Though it's slow going, there's a knowing that someday like him I'll be. Come on. See, though there's a difference when you're born again, you're not the same old person. And when Jesus stepped into the waters of the Jordan River and was baptized, and then the Holy Spirit showed up, he shifted in what God called him to do. Okay? And he was a different person. He started doing healings and miracles and preaching and teaching immediately after he got out of those waters. And there's a big shift or a big change. So when I went home after my being born again, I was born again right before I went to college. So I went to college and came back home and people were looking at me like, what has happened to John? He's turned into a Jesus freak. Because before then I was a music freak. Back then we just had labels with freaks on everybody. There were your freaks. And then I was a music freak, but I came back a Jesus music freak. And so they couldn't process this. They had trouble getting it. So I had a whole new group of friends. Marianne, same way, testify. I know some of you will testify. We just got dumped, you know, pretty much. Why? Why? Because they knew me. It was what they thought. So I just want you to get this small town faith, okay? All right, so what does Jesus do? Number one, he says that he started questioning them. They went from questions down to the root of the problem, which was an assumption. An assumption is, we know him. That's the assumption, thinking that you know something when you don't. One way to break a small town attitude of faith is to break the way you've been thinking and saying, maybe there's a different way of doing something. Amen? And God will get you to do something. We just heard a testimony about it right just now. God led her to a situation that was not in her mind. It wasn't what she expected. And I know God's got her there because I know what God likes to do. He likes to reach young people, and the best way to reach young people is to get right in there with them in school. I know, it's my testimony. It's my testimony. I've seen it over and over and over again with people. Amen. Aren't you excited about that? I'm excited because I know God's going to use her. I know He is. Amen. So they went. So this assumption that they had led them to the wrong answers. Okay? So Jesus tried to talk to them and get questions. So the goal here is to, if you're dealing with someone who's stuck, is to ask them questions so that they question what they assume. And that'll help them get out of that small town, I already know it, faith. Just not go to work. Can only go so far. Jesus had was marveled. Now let's go to the next kind of faith, okay? Okay, so what did, oh, by the way, I want to say is before we move on, look at the last verse there, verse 6. This is so important, okay? Jesus marveled because of their unbelief. So how did Jesus respond to their unbelief? He went about among the villages teaching. So the answer to unbelief, I just want to make sure you get it, is to teach the Word of God. Teach them. Teach them what the Word of God says, and you're going to see revival come. You want to see the gifts of the Spirit function in your church? Teach on the gifts of the Spirit. You want a revival to come? Teach on revival. So God will raise up teaching ministries to teach people not to, you know, so that they learn the Word of God. Teaching will be the most effective way to help that. And I believe that's a strategy here, is teaching. Just get the Word out. There's some great people. They're lovely people. It's not, you know, Jesus wasn't coming down on his hometown. He was just saying, look, you guys need to believe, because you're, so I'm going to teach you. So he kept teaching. He didn't leave them alone. I just want you to get that. He just didn't dump his hometown. Can somebody say amen to that? That's important. You know? And so what is God using? He's taking someone from this church and putting him in as a teacher. As a teacher. That's it, because she's going to teach things other than what she thinks she's going to teach. Praise God.